Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know. It's not really a newsy day, to be quite honest with you. It's not really like, here are all the headlines. You know, I mean, we talked mostly about them yesterday, which is Jackson Dart was named quarterback for the New York Giants. Mike Gundy was let go of Oklahoma State, was given the chance to stay on and announce a retirement. But obviously he chose not to do that. So I don't want to gaslight anybody. I don't want to start the show by in this segment by saying Sister Jean retiring at 106 is the biggest story of the
amazing.
Day. Which we can give her a respect burger next week if
maybe
you'd like.
Jeff can now take a page out of her book. They keep on working. They
so
don't retire.
This is not going to be
her
a,
and Jeff.
This is not going to be a newsy rundown. Okay, full disclosure. But ESPN did release their NBA rank 2025. Numbers 50 through 11 this morning. And again, we talked about it in the beginning of the show, but Ja Morant comes in at 33, dropping 13 spots. ESPN writes this, Tim McMahon, Morant will probably perceive this ranking as a slight, but he hasn't been an all-star since the 2022-23 season and has been part of only one playoff series win in his career. Morant's points per game and field goal percentage last season were his lowest since his second year in the NBA. In fairness, he played most of the season in an offensive system that didn't cater to his strengths. It shouldn't be a surprise if Morant has a bounce-back season with Isolo, who was known for his creative pick-and-roll schemes in Europe in his first full year as Memphis' head coach. They project Ja to average 27.2 points, 5.4 rebounds, and 8.5 assists a game. With the signature stat, as Morant is one of six players to average 25 points and 7 assists over the past four seasons. So
much of that feels like it's dependent upon Zach Edey being out there to set those pick and rolls because Jaren does not do that. And we'll see with Jock.
Yeah.
You know, whether he's capable of that, right?
Jock Landale.
Ja doesn't get to those kinds of numbers unless Edey's out there.
Yep.
And you know you're not going to have him. We don't know how long, but you figure you're not going to have him to start the year. So that's the part that needs to be included and Ja being able to, you know, take it to that level. We saw it. You know, immediately with Isolo because Edey was back, and you could do that. If you don't have him, though, you know, what then? What does the offense look like then?
Yeah.
That's the concern.
No, most definitely. And then Jaren Jackson Jr. at 31. This is what Kevin Pelton writes about him. Grizzlies offensive makeover last season suited Jackson, who emerged as an efficient number one option during Ja's frequent absences. After his efficiency faded under the weight of a career-high usage rate during the lost 23-24 campaign, it bounced back last season as he averaged a career-high 26.8 points per 36 minutes. If he could pair that with his defensive player of the year prime, he'd be a lock for our top 20, but his defensive impact was more muted as his block rate remained less than half what it was in 22-23. They project Jaren to have 22.7 points, 5.9 rebounds, and 1.7 blocks a game. And the signature stat, Jaren was the only player with 1,500 points and 100 blocks in 2024-25. So there you have it. Trae Young being ahead of Ja is interesting. Not sure if I would agree with that. Derek White being ahead of Ja, I don't know if I'd agree with that. The rest of it, you know, makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, you're talking about, you know, Paolo Banchero at 17, Donovan Mitchell at 15, Cade Cunningham at 12, Jalen Williams at 11. You know, these guys have all taken big steps. I mean, Cade's taken a huge step. I think he's going to be one of the faces of the league. Jalen Williams had a great playoffs, you know. So I don't think it's all that surprising. But there's room. I mean, if Josh is on the court, it feels like that's what everybody's waiting to see. And if he does, we know he's going to be awesome. And that's what that all shows. I mean, the problem is he only played in 54% of the Grizzlies' games the last four seasons. That's the problem. But when he's on the court, He's one of six players to average 25 and 7 the last 4 years.
You're going to be careful with his minutes. They're going to do everything as a team and an organization to try to preserve him. Mm-hmm. But the issue is, do you have enough that when he's off the floor, you know, that you're not falling behind, that you're not digging yourself a hole? You brought in Ty Jerome. You know, you saw Scottie Pippen last year. I think that's, you know, you like having another ball handler and Scottie playing, being able to play off ball. But that's going to be the biggest question. And then, again, yes, Ja's got to be out there, but it's imperative to both for them to be at their peak. We mentioned you got to have Zach Edey to have best Ja for the pick and roll. You have to have Zach Edey to have the best Jaren to be, defensively, to have a Jaren that can roam, Jaren whose block rate's been down last couple of years. You've got to have that guy out there.
Yep.
So it goes back to a second-year player being so dependent upon Zach Edey to hold up all season long.
Yep.
Both of those guys to be at their ceilings have to have Zach Edey on the floor, it feels like.
Yeah.
Right? Especially defensively for Jaren.
Absolutely.
Good.
So it's again, we'll have to see it. And we can, you know, we will say it. We'll continue to say that it's the most important thing, but it's gotta get done.
I'm just curious about what happens in the meantime when you don't have Zach Edey.
No, I mean, it's
how you gonna get by. You know, you're obviously going to be interested in the plan.
It's just frustrating when, like, every, you know, like, the results and the production is good, but it's like we don't worry about that. We worry about the physical availability of guys. Like, and that's been the case, like, for as long as we've been doing the show, damn near.
Well, and my issue is you've had, you know, since the first summer league for Zach Edey, staying healthy has not – it's been a challenge.
Exactly.
So the idea that all of a sudden – we're talking about it with Ja, but even with Zach Edey, that he's going to hold up all year long, that size, playing the pace – that they want to.
Yep.
Still, we got to see it.
Absolutely. So it's frustrating, but that's kind of where it is with the Grizz.
All right, John mentioned it. We did talk about Jackson Dart, the former Ole Miss stud, now with the Giants, being named the starter there. I think Brian Daboll did confirm today, though, it's not just the starter for this week, it's for the rest of the season, which is, I think, you know, we said it. He had to make this move. You couldn't wait till New Orleans next week. They've got the Chargers this week.
Yep.
Because of the way Russell Wilson played against KC. They had a chance there late. He's feeling a little bit of pressure, throwing the ball out of the back of the end zone. The team had basically quit on him because it felt like he had quit. And so you have to make the move, but you've confirmed now that it's going to be for the rest of the season. We've said it. Jackson Dart is the save our job card for Daboll and for Shane, Joe Shane, the general manager there, who are both on thin ice. They've drafted Jackson to be the future. Obviously, the plan with Daniel Jones didn't work. Doesn't help them that Daniel Jones, first 3 weeks with the Colts, has looked great. Doesn't help them either.
Yep.
So this is their only way out. The question's going to be, John, the way I'd spin this forward, is you tell me what Jackson Dart can do to save their jobs against this schedule. That's the problem for Daboll and for Shane, is that Jackson Dart could come in and look as good as he's looked in the preseason and everything else.
Yep.
But he's got Chargers this week. Sure gets easy at Saints. Mm-hmm. You got Eagles, Broncos, Eagles, 49ers, Bears, we'll see, but Packers, Lions. I mean, you're playing everybody in the North. You've got Patriots. We'll see where they are. Commanders, Vikes, Bears, Cowboys. And so that schedule, bro, is brutal.
Yeah.
And you tell me, what would it take for Giants fans to feel good enough to keep Daboll – well, I guess in this case, it's ownership. Mm-hmm. To keep Daboll and keep Shane, is it 8 wins? Is it 7 wins? Because I don't think you're going to be able to get there against this schedule.
Yep.
So either way, you know, that's what we've talked about it and framed it as he can save them. But my point is with this schedule and now already 0-3, I don't know that he can. Because, listen, he's going to have to be out of this world. Now, the thing going for the Giants is they do have a good defense.
They do.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, they've got dudes on defense. They have the capability to be one of the best defenses in the league, I think. But offensively, they're going to need to get it going and get it going quickly with Jackson Dart because of the difficulty of the schedule.
Most definitely. I mean, I guess I would say that, you know, how much worse can it get than Russ? You know?
Well, it can't.
I mean, I think – so you only have upside, it feels like to me, if you know – Jackson Dart was in there for a couple of packages that they, you know, it feels like he ran both times. And look, I don't think it's an ideal situation, but offensive line better because Thomas is healthy. You know, when he's out there, they're a different team. You got the run game with Scataboo, who doesn't care about anything except putting his helmet through somebody's chest. You got Malik Nabers, who's finally coming on, it feels like, and he's healthy. So I think there are, you know, in terms of conditions, probably better than they've been in a long time for the Giants quarterback. And I think that Russ was just holding them back, I mean, at this point in his career. Do I expect the Giants to be a playoff team or win or anything really of consequence? Not really.
No, but can they win enough games to save Dable and Shane? And what would that number be?
Well, I think it's probably more like, I mean, yes, wins are going to matter, but if Dart is great, then they will win games because that defense is so good. So I don't know. What are they? They're 0-3 right now.
Yes.
If they find a way to get to 6 wins, I think that's enough. I don't think 5's enough because that would still put you at 5-12. So you'd go 5-9. I don't think that's enough. I think 6-8, you kind of give yourself a chance. 7-7, you're probably back. Anything better than that, obviously. But, look, I would also say on Dable, like, man, you've had time. I don't feel bad about it.
And the longer that Daniel Jones plays well,
yeah,
the more of an indictment that is against
yes.
you and your plan for him.
Now, I think it's a bad organization. I don't think it's like a Dable thing exclusively. I think they've drafted poorly. I think they've made weird free agency decisions. They've, you know, until now, not really addressed offense. So, you know, I would definitely, I would say organizationally, there's a lot of stuff going against Dable. But, you know, at some point, you got to change it up. I mean, you know, you can't just keep bringing back the same staff and the same general manager and hope that it's going to change. It's just not the way it works.
Right.
You got to try something different. It'll be interesting to see like how coveted that job is because on some level you have talent, you have defensive talent, you have neighbors. But like you know, if Dart's not good, like if he's bad,
well, you can be bad enough to go back in and get you another one.
Right.
And that's what the new guy will do. Remember, right. I mean, remember this. Joe Shane's the guy that lets Saquon Barkley walk to Philly,
yeah.
and he goes and wins a championship over there.
Yeah.
In your same division.
Yep.
You know, I just don't think there's any – he tried to trade up, remember, for Drake May. Couldn't get it done.
Mm.
And so there's been a lot of failing on his part, and it doesn't help. Again, you move off Daniel Jones, he goes and plays well. Now, I heard you this morning. I'm kind of with you. Daniel Jones at some point going to come back down to earth, start turning the ball over. But I just don't think it – you know, 5 wins, I don't even think 6 wins at this point for as much bad as they've done, and I'd put him and Dable both in the same boat there. I don't think it's going to be enough to save them. Although, Jackson Dart could show signs.
Yeah.
And maybe, again, for the next GM and the next coach, you look at it and you say, you know what, with that defense and what he showed, be like a Ben Johnson type deal.
Yep.
You know, having seen Caleb Williams that year while he was with Detroit, and you say, okay, well, that's a job I'd want.
Yes.
And maybe your pool's a little deeper.
Most definitely.
Because there's a lot to like on that defense. And if Jackson shows some signs, I think that next coach could maybe, you know, maybe you get a guy like a Ben Johnson. We talked about some of those offensive guys that might be the next ones.
Yep.
Kingsbury, Joe Brady, you know.
Yep.
I think that's where we're headed with Jackson Dart in year 2. I don't think he can save him.
There's a couple other NFL stories while we're on the subject. The Titans have traded away their starting CB, Brownlee, who, again, I'm not going to say he was great, but Jarvis Brownlee was a starter, an unquestioned starter in a defensive back room that was already pretty thin. So the Titans trade him away for, I think, like a 6th rounder, him and a 7th rounder for a 6th rounder. And so you just kind of start to wonder, like, is this fire sale happening right now with the Titans? Like, is this the spark? Because they're 0-3, they're staring down 0-4, the coach is gone. You know, are they just going to unload as much as they can, you know, to really embrace how bad, you know, they'd like to be? Because there are, like, some impact players that the Tide specifically could draft. Because you got Cam Ward, so you feel you've got the – it's a bad year for quarterbacks, so it's actually a great year for them to tank. So you get the number one pick. You can take, you know, our guy Reuben Bain from Miami, put him on the edge.
Stood.
You can take I feel like there are some really good offensive linemen in this draft. You know, shore up your – I think your line's pretty good, but you could always make it better. So I think this is actually a pretty good time for only the Titans, because they're sort of in this rare situation where you could tank with the number one pick at quarterback already. Like, so I think you should take full advantage of it. Like, you know, you're going to get a new coach. You know, you're going to get a new regime, you know, and might as well give that dude something, right? Might as well give him – a pot to piss in, you know, as the number one quarter, as number one, you know, draft pick. So
you got to go get him a weapon too. I mean, that Ridley doesn't look like.
Yeah, he's on the
outs. He's the future as the one there. There was some preseason chemistry, it seemed like, between those two that we have not seen whatsoever, at least for the part that I've seen of the Titans, for Calvin and for Cam. So, yeah, they got to go get more weapons.
I mean, honestly, you know, you could
get him a number one.
You could do this. This is what you could do if you're the Titans. Get the number one pick because, you know, you're on pace. Trade out of it because there's going to be a quarterback that somebody wants. Mm-hmm. And then trade, you know, pick up some assets,
yeah.
Trade back to like three or four,
mm-hmm.
or whatever, and draft the Arizona State receiver.
Yeah, I don't dislike that plan whatsoever because you need more talent in the organization.
I think so that's
getting
that's
more
what I
assets
do.
Makes a lot of sense there. You have your figure, you're going to have, you have your quarterback.
Yes.
And there's going to be, you said it, you use that desire of those other teams to go up and get their guy.
Yes.
Against them.
Like the Browns, for example, right? The Browns have two firsts this year. So what I would do is I would make sure that you already are ahead of the Browns because they've won.
They going to draft another quarterback? Many as they got on the roster?
Well, I mean, you make a good point. Maybe.
No, they got the two picks. You're right to target them. Are they going to be the one coming up to one to get a QB?
Well,
if they want to come up to one, come on. I don't care what you're getting.
I think Shadur is like probably on the outside looking in, so – You could say they don't. And Flash is going to retire.
Usually, I would have already counted out Dylan Gabriel. Do they like him?
No, they do.
They got two rookies on the roster.
But I don't think Dylan Gabriel should preclude you if you believe in a quarterback talent. Taking one.
Which one is it?
It ain't for me. But
I was going to say
everybody loves that Indiana quarterback or Nussmeier.
Mateer breaks, and I heard Kiper saying that might set him back a year.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you don't go in this draft.
Well,
we hadn't talked about that broken hand for him.
It's possible that Cleveland won't be. Because I need to do a deal with Cleveland if they're picking like fifth, right? So give me the fifth pick of the draft, and then give me the second first rounder that you have. You can move up and draft the quarterback.
Right.
I'll take the Tyson kid from Arizona State, and then you know if I'm picking like 16th or 17th or something, you know I'll take an edge rusher or a tackle or something like that, and just firm it all up. But that's what I would do because. I mean, they drafted this a Umanor. I think it's a Umanor is how you say it. The receiver who's actually scored two touchdowns in three games, who looks not bad, but it's not enough. Because, like you said, Ridley is just not going to be there for the long haul.
Can your boy be a one? I hadn't seen the one.
Umanor. I don't know. He feels like a.
Is he a two?
He feels like a two.
I know that's the way we looked at it with Ridley there. Can he move up to a one like we're trying to do with Roma Dunze?
It feels like a two. Yeah.
Okay. So you still need that one. You agree with me that
yes.
You know, using it on a receiver, trading down makes sense.
That's exactly what I'd do if I'm the Titans. Mm-hmm. Now, I will say, just looking at these mock drafts, it's a crazy quarterback draft. If you like, everybody believes in this Mendoza kid for Indiana. I honestly, the way he looks, I just can't do it. He doesn't have a face that I want to draft. I hate to put it that way.
Okay. It's face.
No, I mean, doesn't it matter the face, that how your quarterback, what your quarterback's face looks like?
Well, then you'd never draft Carson Beck.
I would not draft him number one. There's no way. And I don't even think he can make throws. So, no, I would not.
It can't be face. We've had some ugly QBs out there with a bad face that have been successful.
Number one overall picks?
Number ones?
I mean, this is number one overall now. I mean, you can't just be no ugly mug, like and get called.
Yes, I hadn't thought about their. I mean, we obviously them being the one pick.
These
are only things that go through your mind.
If I'm drafting a quarterback number one overall, bro.
You're saying you need your dude to be handsome.
Yes, bro.
For the face of the franchise.
Yes.
So, Brad's nodding as if he agrees with these principles.
Y'all's front office is fruity.
No, we're not.
First of all, I don't know if you can say that in 2025.
Why? It's depending on whatever context. Y'all weird.
No, I think it's very simple. I think if I'm drafting a quarterback.
You want a handsome man.
At number one overall, a quarterback needs to be handsome. 100%. 100%. He 100%. What, I'm going to draft an ugly dude, number one. He's going to come right out of the locker room with his ugly ass. Ain't no way.
No, but this is the way I would squash this. Caleb Williams had a good week. Last week.
Yeah.
There's a chance he continues to rise up and starts to look like the one pick.
Yeah.
You would not have taken him, forget handsome, everything that you saw with the crying with mom, with the nails, you would have said based on your reasoning that's not a franchise QB.
Well, I mean,
you wouldn't have taken. You would have taken Jaden Daniels. Now there have been a lot of other reasons to take Jaden.
Yeah, I mean, I think Jaden Daniels is a handsome guy.
Caleb might be on his way to now being that guy. Might be, and you would have said no because of the weirdness and the nails everything and the crying that
I would definitely have to ask him about it. I'd have to ask him about it, but like. Yeah, I mean,
you'd have taken Shador because the dude's handsome. You'd have taken him number one and not worried.
It's not the number one thing I'm worried about, but it is definitely like three or four. Like, it's like, all right, can you throw the ball? Do you have pocket presence? Do you have accuracy? Can you run the ball? Blah, blah. But are you a handsome guy? I'm picking you number one, bro. Your job is to lead a locker room and get guys to believe in you. And then when does
that not matter? Like, if it's still a franchise QB, if I take him number five.
I mean, who's the ugliest
It's good, a franchise QB for me with the fifth pick.
Who's the ugliest good quarterback in the NFL? Who is it? Like, a guy who's like the ugliest good quarterback?
Again, I don't spend time judging men. I mean, I know who's ugly and who's not.
I mean, I know, but like most great quarterbacks, like what we
I know who the handsomest is.
Is Joe Burrow.
No, it's Jalen Hurts.
See, that's
man, Jalen Hurts.
That just goes to show you our differences.
You're handsome.
Yours
is for white America.
I know that's not true.
Jalen is for everyone.
Jalen is undeniably a great looking guy.
He is your MAGA handsome.
As is Jaden Daniels, great looking guy. No question about that. You don't think so?
No, he ain't Jalen Hurts.
I believe I saw a tweet that he's got some Japanese heritage. And he was wearing he's like, where's it? Now, this might have been a meme, but he wears a Japanese flag on his helmet. I saw somebody say that. So it could be true. So you have sort of, you know, some diversity in there, you know, which I'm always a huge fan of.
Flacco ain't no handsome man.
No. Most definitely not. You know, Gino, not a handsome guy. Not my type.
I don't consider Fabio-looking Trevor Lawrence good-looking.
Yeah, I get it. I'm not really a huge fan. Big face, big head.
Big head.
Big old head. But, you know, Joe Burrow, for sure. Joe Burrow is a classy guy.
He's the only one you're holding up.
No, that's not true, man.
It is.
No, I gave you Jaden Daniels. I gave you both races. You have yet to give me a white quarterback that you think is handsome.
Sam Darnold's handsome. He's the grandson of the Marlboro.
Oh, man. Sam Darnold. Oh, you think Sam Darnold's handsome?
He's got a square chin, dude.
Okay. What about Drake May's a good-looking dude, right?
I don't know.
He's got
the beady
eyes. Look like a cartoon face. You could draw it. There's no features.
Yeah, I think you
cartoon
got
looking
paste.
At.
Yeah, I'm not.
We are checking NFL quarterbacks on the show.
I think Aaron Rodgers is a handsome guy.
Oh yeah, I mean, I don't like it.
I don't even.
And he's aging. I mean, he's arrogant and he knows.
Right.
That's why you don't want to give it to him. But he is.
Yeah,
he is.
I would give that to him. You know.
I mean, JJ's handsome, I guess, for white America.
Yeah, y'all think,
JJ.
You know, he's cute.
White girls love JJ.
He's a cute guy.
Cute.
Yeah,
that's what they'd call him.
Yeah, but again, like
college cute.
Yeah, at some point you got to be a man,
right?
You know, you got to grow up and be
JJ's a
man,
boy.
But I mean, look, is this a formula that I would necessarily want to, you know, promote? No, but
what's Baker? Y'all tell me.
Baker is his personality makes him more handsome. Than
he looks better in the commercials.
Actually, is.
But when he takes
not
all that, have you noticed what the hair? What's happening with his hair these days?
Like, uh-uh.
Well, now with the sweat in the helmet, like there's less of it out there. I just wondered
I admire it.
I thought Baker, when he has the beard and stuff in the commercials, is pretty handsome, but I was curious.
Oh, you know who else is handsome? Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford's a handsome guy, bro. He's an all-American white guy from the South.
SEC handsome.
Yeah, I mean, you don't think Matt Stafford's a handsome guy?
Not model-type handsome, no. Jalen Hurts.
The only white
Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold is
he,
not the
he's
model.
The grandson of the Marlboro Man.
That's
he's
crazy.
A freaking, he's like an ad face. He's
think,
got the square chin.
You think Sam Darnold is more handsome than Joe Burrow?
Bro, if you gave Sam a makeover and walked him in here, you would be in a, you'd say, damn, that's a handsome dude.
Do you think, let me ask you this, do you think Justin Herbert's handsome?
No.
Okay.
Again. Another just paste face.
Bo Nix?
I can't even see the features with him.
Yeah, he's just a...
Doesn't stand out.
You
Those
think all white people look alike?
I don't. I just told you about square jaw Sam Darnold. He has the face of a model. I'm serious.
That's crazy. I'm not just pulling that out.
I feel that way about him.
No, I like
And it. I did at USC when he was at USC.
I get it. No, I see. Like you're
Is
just...
Brock Purdy handsome? He looks like a boy.
He looks like a boy, a small child. He's just a
He has a child's face.
He does. He's a little
baby face is what we call
that. He's a little cutie. He's like, you
baby
know,
face.
And it's not really, you know, he's not going to take you on a date or, you know, wine and dine you. He's going to get you home at 8 o'clock, you know, and that's just the end of it.
Y'all love Jackson Dart.
Jackson Dart's a very handsome guy.
Why does dude wear turtlenecks with a chain?
Because he's just like that, bro. I don't know.
He thinks he's Justin Jefferson like that?
He must be. He got some swag to him. That's that Oxford. He probably wasn't doing that before he got to Oxford. You know,
turtleneck and the chain.
It's a look.
It is a look.
It's a real look. You better back that up. He did in the preseason.
No, Jackson Dart could be the number one overall pick for me for sure. Cali guy, blonde hair, tall, good looking dude.
Folks say Josh Allen. Josh Allen's that Cali guy.
Oh yeah,
but
Josh Allen.
But I don't see him as handsome. I don't see Josh Allen. Clearly,
handsome.
He is to get.
Yeah. Haley Steinfeld.
Forget Haley, but.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, Josh Allen's so.
He's your
very
California
handsome.
Guy. Everybody says he's handsome.
Yeah, but I also kind of think he's more cute white. Than handsome, I would give you. Mm. You know? But I think it's mostly because it's like he doesn't have the facial hair. Like, that's kind of what holds it back, right? When you don't have the facial hair, you got to have the beard.
I do have one who rattles me, his appearance.
The Rattler?
Yeah.
You don't know what to make of him.
I'm just not going to sit up here and say they're ugly white guys and not, you know, kind of, and keep this.
Yeah, because,
like,
I mean,
you
is
really...
He how, is, what is his lineage?
I think he's just mixed, yeah.
He's a brother, I believe.
Okay.
Good chance he's mixed. I don't know about John's. My guess is John's right on that.
I think he's mixed, yeah.
But he's strange looking dude.
Yeah.
A different looking dude.
He's like, doesn't he have like red hair or blonde hair or something?
Yeah, a lot
that's
going
part of
on
the,
there.
The thing going on.
A lot going on.
But is it, I think it might be natural. I think, yeah. I don't think he dyes that thing.
I'm surprised they hadn't made the switch yet.
He's been playing decently well.
They're down 40 something points and he's just dinking and dunking. I guess I haven't watched enough. Yeah, I got you. You're betting on this stuff. You'd know better about his percentages.
Yeah,
I get maybe that would explain why they hadn't made the change.
Yeah,
but he's not the future, and you don't know what you got yet with our boy Shuck.
That is true. We do not.
At some point, you got to see, right?
They will. I mean, they'll give Rattler probably half the season. If it doesn't turn around, they'll give it to Shuck.
This has felt like a waste of time with him. Since you drafted the guy, at some point you'll make the change. He's saying he's playing well enough.
He kind of gives you just enough to, like, keep you curious. You know, like there's something like we're not curious about Russ anymore. Like we know it's time.
Well, and Shuck might not be ready. Know that behind the scenes.
They gave him every opportunity in preseason
to win the job. You're right.
They ran him out there with the starters, and he couldn't take it. And so I think that's probably the issue here, but. Yeah, that's why I don't think I don't think a quarterback is going number one because it's just not a super handsome class at this point.
Oh, right.
You know, I mean, especially Mendoza. I mean, I just can't.
It didn't help Shadur.
I can't do it. I cannot do it. Anyway, that's just my formula. And again, I think we learned today that Jason is definitely going to be more on the brother side of things. You know, we need to get Darnold. We got Darnold, and we'll have to hold that one up.
No, grab me an Aaron Rodgers, handsome dude. I've got plenty of white dudes.
That's because you and him have a relationship over the years, you know? You feel a connection to him from all your battles.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah. Again, we started this talking about the Titans. It just feels like, I was listening to there's like a TikTok that the people of the good folks over there with 3HL, 104.5, our guy Ron Slay. They were talking about I don't know who Ryan Slade was talking to, but he was trying to make it sound so bad about the Titans. He's like, they haven't won a home game since November the 3rd of 2024. That's 11 and a half months since the Titans fans have seen a home win. I'm in my head, I'm like, bro, they've been out of the season for eight and a half of those.
They played two at home.
What are they supposed to do, man? I mean, you're trying to make it sound worse than it is. Yeah, it's been a while, but they haven't played. From February to September. Mm. All right, so 7 to 8 months of that. You know, but see, that's how they do it up there. They try to trick you. You know, we don't play those games on you here.
No game.
You know, we keep it a buck here on the show. But this was your story. I kind of commandeered it. But
we're used to it.
Yeah. I think it needed to be said just while we were on the subject of the NFL and the handsome Jackson Dart getting the job. Speaking of quarterback changes, this is Ole Miss. It's not really a change. It's just more of the same. Austin Simmons is going to be out again for the Rebels this weekend against LSU. It is going to be Trinidad James Chambliss. What was that song he had? Gold All in My Watch. That was Trinidad James.
You pulled that one out because I wouldn't have been able to.
This guy's great. This backup.
Ferris State.
He's a stud.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Trinidad Chambliss, he has been good, but I think anybody is going to be good for Lane Kiffin. Not to take away. Or maybe he's good at identifying the guys that'll be good. Yeah. It's the chicken or the egg theory. You know, he doesn't but he don't keep a bad quarterback. Like you don't ever see a guy go to Ole Miss and not be good. It's just, you know, it's just the way it goes. But yeah, Austin Simmons is going to continue to be out. This will be, I believe, his third straight start.
Is it the three straight?
I think so. Yeah.
Because he was the surprise starter 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. So third straight start for Trinidad Chambliss, who is completing 68% of his passes, 719 yards, averaging 11.6 yards per attempt, 4 touchdowns, no picks. So
I keep expecting him to come back down to earth.
Yeah. It could be this weekend.
Maybe it's this week.
It could be this weekend. I mean, LSU, I believe, is going to close as the favorite here.
I mean, the guy was at where?
Division II Ferris State starter.
Ferris State, bro.
I'm having a hard enough time remembering the name.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's how random.
It's pretty random.
This is.
But
he has played well.
I don't think, from what I saw of Austin Simmons, that there's much of a difference, to be honest. He made some bad throws against Kentucky before he got hurt, and Chambliss has not. Chambliss has not made a mistake yet. Against Arkansas, he was 21 of 29 for 353 yards and a touchdown, rushed for 62 yards, 2 touchdowns, and then in week 4 against Tulane, 307 yards, 112 rushing yards. So the guy's been pretty much perfect, and I think that is that is a good reason why Lane feels good about it. But here's the thing. This man was like, according to 247's rankings, when he came out of Ferris State, he was the number 60 quarterback in the portal.
That's what I'm telling you. He was number high reputation of this dude.
He was number 843. So to me, it's like, what I'd like to know is like, Lane, how did you even think about this guy? Like, number 60? Like, is that even number 60 in anything is not getting a call from Ole Miss, bro. Like, it just seems insane. He must have got a tip from somebody.
Had to. The kind of athlete he was.
Hey, they're sleeping on this kid. Yeah. You need to look at him. You need to watch him.
Really?
And then, you know,
absolute steal.
I think it is, obviously, it's a credit to the kid that he's this kind of talent, but I think it's really about Lane's evaluation ability.
I don't think there's any question about him.
Because, I mean, it's number 60 quarterback. That's like Memphis, you know. Like if Memphis took Trinidad Chambliss and told you that he's going to be the starter next year, we'd all be like, what the hell?
Right.
This is going to be a disaster, for Ryan Silverfield. But this guy is, like, killing it at Ole Miss, and he's going to have a chance to continue the lore this weekend against LSU. It's obviously, and I think this is the piece of it, it's the hardest defense he might have to see all year. I mean, LSU's defense is as good as it gets.
Yep.
And so I don't think it will look anything like Tulane. I don't think it will look anything like Arkansas. We saw Arkansas. They're a mess. So
those are not good defenses.
Yeah, I do think this will look very different. I think he'll be asked to do different things. But that rushing ability. So we talk about Brendan Lewis. When you can bring that to the table in college football, bro.
Byron Brown.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, Mateer. What are we talking about?
Yeah.
I mean,
their run game.
That's the most successful quarterbacks in the country right now. I mean, Nussmeier's doing his thing, you know, but like the best of the best are bringing that rushing ability.
Gotta have it.
And so Chambliss will try to do that. Great college football slate, bro.
Yeah, it is.
Great slate. I mean, even Tennessee, Mississippi State, I'm
interested. Oh, it's a slick good one. I was going to say that's a slick good one.
You got Alabama, Georgia. You got LSU, Ole Miss. Oregon, Penn State.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, Oregon. So Notre Dame's playing Arkansas. This is a great weekend.
What do you think about that Oregon, Penn State game?
Bro, believe it or not.
Who's more real?
Well, people are betting Arkansas. Well,
I'm sorry?
Yeah, people are betting Arkansas. That number's down to 4.
No, what? I was talking about. I thought Oregon Penn State is what.
Oh, Oregon Penn State.
Yeah, I'm curious about that one. Which one is real game?
Oregon.
Which way do you lean?
Yeah, I think Penn State's real, and they're at home. And I think Oregon's quarterback is unproven and untested at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Traveling across the coast here. I mean, I think it's we see how good Dylan Gabriel is in the NFL. Like he's produced every time he's had an opportunity, and I'm not so sure about this guy Moore. I'm not saying he can't be, but we haven't seen it really in terms of the tests. So
does Franklin win these games?
He doesn't win these games.
That's my point.
But at some point, you do.
He's not going to let you down.
Well, Ryan Day didn't win these games either until he did. He's done it for, like, I feel like Franklin's droughts lasted longer than Day's.
Absolutely has.
And his record against the top 10 is abysmal. And there's just no doubt about that. I think it's the top 10. It's like 4-20 or something. Mm-hmm. AP top 10 teams.
They better win this one at his place.
But, yeah, I mean, if you can't get this done with a returning quarterback and everything you have versus a new-look Oregon offense, bro, it ain't ever going to happen for
right.
you. I mean, it's setting up for Penn State for this to be the year for them, in my opinion.
What needs to be.
It's because
what we said all preseason.
Yeah, you got injuries around the country. Ours don't look great. Ohio State's got a first year starter.
Right.
Like, I mean, they should be thinking championship. Forget winning this game. I mean, they should be thinking like, hey, we can go do this whole entire thing. So we'll see. I haven't watched a ton of Penn State, but yeah, it'll be Trinidad Chambliss again for Ole Miss this weekend.
Saw this from Munns over the commercial appeal. I guess there have been multiple reports out today about it. Preston Chua, the former Tiger, friend of Memphis, has signed for a season with the Miami Heat. As Munns points out, he's going back to the organization that drafted him. We know he spent last couple of seasons with the Knicks and spent a little bit of time with the Toronto Raptors as well. It's 7.6 points, 5.6 rebounds per game so far in his career for Precious Achiuwa. And listen, John and I talked about this last year when the Knicks were making a run out. It seemed like Precious was in the doghouse. You know, he was a useful body at them at one time, and for a team that was dependent so much on its, you know, its starters, that was playing those guys into the ground, it just, wow, what had Precious done to not be out there? He's always been that sort of useful off the bench energy guy, rebounding guy, and his numbers sort of suggest that. You know, the kind of guy that Miami probably gets back in the culture and makes a winning player out of. It's just for a season, but again, Precious, I don't doubt that he could go down there and press enough that he can get a little bit more of a long-term contract. Perhaps not, but he's going to be a guy that sticks in the league just because he's able, you know, to be so versatile defensively to guard a lot of positions. Munns, he put together all of the guys who have signed, former Tigers who have signed. David Jones Garcia is on it's a two-way, right, with the Spurs, yes, that he agreed to back in July. Naquan Tomlin's with the Cavs G League charge. For now, during summer league, he was good for them. Averaged almost 20 points, 6.8 rebounds. So we've talked about it when Naquan was here at Memphis. We said that dude, well, he can step outside, knock down threes, and bring the energy. You know, that could be a guy that could stick in the NBA.
Yep.
And he's been impressive in summer league. And hopefully, he gets a real shot this year. Imani's two-way contract. Imani, your old friend Imani Bates, two-way contract with the Sixers. Of course, Jalen Duren, stud with the Pistons. You got Quinones with the Magic. At least to start the year, expected to compete in training camp for the final two-way spot for them. Don't forget about Damian Ball. I kind of had.
Hornets, right?
Suns? According to Munns.
He was with the Hornets Summer League.
And it's only an Exhibit 10 deal with the Suns, so he could be with somewhere else. He signed that yesterday, actually, with the Suns, Damian Ball, a point guard and a guy who, you know, brings a lot of size to that position. Minot, Celtics, we knew that. Wiseman, Pacers. So, you know, Duren's the one that's locked in.
Yeah.
Duren's the stud of the bunch.
He is.
With the way what he's done. It's 11.8 rebounds, 11.8 points and 10.3 rebounds a game. He's averaged a double-double for Detroit his entire career.
Yeah, no, it's been kind of a rough one for old Precious. You know, I was hopeful that he would stick. And he you know, he's had moments where it's like it felt like he's cemented. You know, Knicks were like, all right, finally.
He can't shoot.
Can't shoot.
So you can't. Right. You can't move up.
No, it's
right.
Tough.
Unless that skill is going to be required to move up at that spot.
It's tough.
You're just a useful, you know, defensively versatile, you know, guy who's got limited skill.
Yep. But, exactly.
But I mean, like, there's a place for those guys.
Yeah. If you play really hard, which he does, you know, you can eke out some contracts. It's not going to be pretty, but.
Just he did something though in New York to get himself in the doghouse, and whatever he did,
yes.
And I know Tibbs. Maybe it's easy to do that with right. Younger players too, but whatever that was is going to have to be nipped in the bud. And Miami, obviously, with their culture, you know, they're going to expect you to come down there and act like a winning player. So again, I'm not specifically sure of what went down in New York because clearly he was a useful player for them at one point, but. I am happy that Precious is back with the team that drafted him in Miami, and hopefully he can be a contributor.
Absolutely. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come. Drew Hill's going to join us at 125. We'll talk to him about the Grizzlies media day, Memphis football win over Arkansas, and more. Stick around, Jason and John.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Return FM, ESPN. The Live Love Group at the Real Estate Agency will be your best friend. You know, you need assistance and guidance and the right people around you when you are selling a home, when you're listening in and you're trying to go through the entire process. And that's exactly what the Live Love team does. They're going to guide you through it. They're going to make sure that everybody's on the same page, that you know exactly sort of what the expectations are, what's reasonable, and still get you the most money for your home. And then help you get in the home of your dreams. But you got to reach out, so to livelovememphis.com.
Jennifer Carstensen is wonderful at what she does. Go see. Make the call. 901-625-5200. Don't just take my word for it. And she did help me back in 2018 in a way that will forever be indebted to her, my family. She can do that for you too, but you can't do it unless you reach out. 901-625-5200. She has proven, she's done it in every market, sold those homes for the price that she says she's going to get. And that's why she's built this team and built it up into the award-winning team that they are. Don't worry, they speak just about every language, so no language barrier going to keep you from getting that home sold. Not going to have you out there hanging, having to decrease that price, being on the market for a long time. No, it's a story that's very familiar right now in this market. Won't be with Jennifer Carstensen. Again, 901-625-5200. So Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency. Had a question for my partner, and it was based off a ranking I saw earlier in the week. We talked to Frank Bonner, Daily Memphian Tiger football beat writer, my man Jonah Dillon. We love all beat writers in this city. He's over at the Commercial Appeal covering Tigers football, and he released earlier this week his American Athletic Conference football power rankings, and there was a move at the top. Many of you all may know this already, having read Jonah, again, over at CommercialAppeal.com, that he moved Memphis up from 4 to number 1 in the American, a 3-spot jump after that win over Arkansas, rallied from 18 down. We know, got the miracle fumble there and were able to salt away the clock. Arrington Maiden with the crazy conversion to help the Tigers do that. But he jumps them up over South Florida. Now 3-1, obviously has that loss to Miami. But does have wins over Boise State and Florida when they were ranked. He's got them number 2. He's got Tulane 3. Remember, they're coming off a beatdown against Ole Miss. 3-1, though. Do have wins over Northwestern and Duke. And North Texas is 4. Up from 5, they are 4-0 now. John and I talked about them yesterday. I mean, sneaky good. Could be a sneaky problem for some teams in the American. And then, you know, rounding out the top 5, because I think there is a drop-off at 6 down to UTSA, which is 2-2, Navy, which is also 4-0. Top 5 in the American this year. Yeah. And maybe North Texas will see on, you know, but it feels super strong. My question for you, John, when we started this, is are you comfortable? You know, we can do it rah-rah. We're both Memphis graduates. Great to see the number 1. Are you comfortable with having them over South Florida based on the win over Arkansas? Because that's what we're based. Clearly, that's what Dillon has based the jump.
I think right now, like, you could do any of the three. You could do Tulane. You could do South Florida. You could do Memphis.
How are we dropping South Florida? Tell me. Because of a loss to Miami? Is not what they've done either just as impressive or more impressive than the win, with all due respect, over Arkansas at home? You know, having knocked off Florida, having knocked off Boise State.
Well, I guess I would just say maybe, again, it's not my ranking, but I guess I'll speak for Jonah in that maybe he would say, well, Florida wasn't nearly as good as we thought they were to start the season.
It's true.
So, you know, perhaps that win wasn't as good as it looked at the time.
Still a good Florida defense. Look what they did to LSU.
And look what they did to Miami for 90% of the game.
I mean, exactly.
It was a one-score game there only because
of
that defense.
If they had any offense.
Yeah, no doubt. And then Boise, you know, you could say that game was at home, you know.
No, that's true. You had Boise flying cross country.
Yeah. So, I mean, that would be my, and look, Memphis hasn't lost. I mean, Memphis has not lost a game.
Yeah.
Tulane has lost a game. South Florida has lost a game.
That counts. Now, and undefeated.
You know, that in 3 weeks, in 4 weeks, is that going to be the case? You know, we'll see. We shall see. But I have no problem with it. I mean, I have no problem with Memphis being number 1 right now. I do. I do. I. would I be comfortable saying that that's how it's going to finish? No, I probably wouldn't. I mean, I think and by the way, I think like North Texas is just sitting, you know, at four. I mean, I guess somebody's got to be fourth in this league, but I mean, I'd feel something. They're undefeated, and they're
So is Navy. I mean, you could have them there too,
right? So, I think the two things. One is I have no problem with it, but B, it shows that this league is damn good, and football is damn good. I mean, I only wish that the American basketball had half this kind of quality, because like imagine if we're like a third into this conference season or a third into the season, and you could literally point. And I'm just saying half. You got Memphis, Wichita State, FA, whatever. Like three or four teams that will help you, you know, in conference, as opposed to just completely drain you.
Three of the five are receiving votes in the AP poll.
Right. The American basketball will never have that.
And usually you would have four, because Tulane, which is coming off of a beatdown at Ole Miss, would be in those receiving votes 100%. Category. They've got North Texas in with a couple of points. Obviously with Memphis, they were 23 points, still in the 30s. But then you've got that South Florida team that's just outside the top 25. Again, got dropped after they lost to Miami. Got two ranked wins, though. But no, to your point, I mean, the strength of the American this year, the top half.
Yeah.
I mean, you're so clear in a way the best conference outside the Power Four this year because of the depth up top, you know?
100%. It's a good place to be, man. Good place to be. Again, I don't know if they're number one. That'll all get bared out. I mean, South Florida comes here. Tulane comes here. Navy comes here.
It could work the other way against you, though, where it's helped you now separate yourself in terms of whoever comes out of this gets the group of five spot. It's more dangerous because these teams are good. It's more there are more landmines than maybe
no doubt
previous seasons. Now, again, it's usually the team that you should beat that's kind of been
the
UTSAs.
Right. But the good news is, you beat Tulane last year. Yeah, you beat Tulane last year. They didn't really play another team like Tulane, did you?
No, it wasn't as strong last year. The conference wasn't as strong last year.
But, you know, think about it. You lose to UTSA. You lose to Navy. It takes everything to beat North Texas. It takes a late second drive from Seth Hennigan to beat Charlotte. I mean, like, you know, those are the games that Memphis historically under Ryan Silverfield has always struggled with. It's not the big ones, you know. It's really not. It's in a lot of ways, it's kind of like Penny, you know. Like before last year, you know, it was always the weak conference games, like you know, that Penny would get them up to play the you know, Ole Miss,
play
Alabama,
big and
whatever.
Big games usually.
Yeah,
it'd be the stub your toe games that were a problem. Like for Ryan,
like this weekend. And this is dangerous, right? Like I would say this weekend is very dangerous because it's like you're coming off that emotional high at home against Arkansas, and now you got to go play this sort of listless FAU team on the road, and you're huge favorites. You know, I think in many ways we'll find out even more about Memphis this weekend than we did last weekend, if that makes sense.
No, it does.
Because, like, how do you respond?
I could see a letdown start, a slow start.
Because, I mean, that's got to be the number one priority for Ryan Silver. It's like, hey, guys, do not let no slippage. If we lose this game, last week meant nothing.
The thing about it is, I mean, the reason my confidence level is so high, especially offensively, is because of that running game.
Yeah.
It's not something where it feels like, at least so far, oh, man, this dude, you know, he's not going to be able to get it done because he's not this, you know, unbelievable passer of the ball. Their run game is so dynamic. When you can do that to an SEC defense, I know Arkansas is not a good one, but it's an SEC defense with SEC players. When you can run the ball like they did, dude, you've got something to fall back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.